Welcome to the Fairhaven Church Sermons Podcast. Fairhaven is located in Hudsonville, Michigan, and we exist to help people find their way back to God. We hope this message helps you to take your next step in your faith journey. Thanks for joining us.
As we were worshiping, I was thinking about a scripture verse that talks about the heart of a worshiper. His name was David. He was a songwriter. He wrote the Psalms. And David said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up to the house of the Lord." And when I thought for a moment, like, what is my favorite way to show up to worship? It's like that. To show up where I'm glad to show up on a Sunday morning. I'm excited to show up on a Sunday morning. And then it gave me pause. Even as we were worshiping, I started praying for this moment right now and thought about this, that the object of worship isn't a place. It's not showing up to a place. It's a person. And that person is Jesus, that we show up to worship him. And what would be his favorite way for you to show up? And I actually think the favorite way that he would have you show up is not to put your best foot forward, just to put your real foot forward. Just come totally as you today. All your stuff, whatever you're dealing with. Whether you showed up this morning going, "This is my favorite hour of the week. I can't wait to get to worship. I was glad when I woke up on Sunday morning and got to go to worship." If that's you, that's amazing. And if it's this morning, it took everything you have just to get here this morning. I believe the object of our worship is looking at you saying, just put your real self forward, because you, I know your story. You, I care about you. You, I love you immensely. Thank you for this moment that we get to spend with one another. If you're sitting there this morning thinking to yourself, "I have Pastor Greg's phone number. I'm going to text him to tell him he has his phone in his hand." You go right ahead and do it. I already shut it off, so it's not coming in anyway. And I'll get to it later today. I'm a bit busy right now, so not going to text you back. But I want you to know that this phone that I hold in my hand is the iPhone 12 Pro. And if you're sitting there going, "Wow, you're one of four people here that want to drag us back to rotary phones, and the rest of us aren't impressed," because we're at generation 17 of the iPhone. Generation 17, which means this one is already really old. The 12 is really old. And if you ever wonder if your phone's old, you don't have to wonder long, because your phone company will remind you on repeat. Buy a new phone already, right? And the Apple Corporation, actually, I thought about this, that they do math in a more ridiculous way than dog years, because with every iteration of a new iPhone, they call it a generation, which means by the time you move from 12 to 17, you're five generations behind. They're trying to convince us that this phone is like 400 years old already. But what they don't know is I just bought a brand new case for it, because we're not done yet, buddy. We got some time ahead of us. We're going to keep rolling. And the amazing thing about a phone is this, I think anyway, it's this, that these phones, that they might get old, but the minute they start working, like somehow you think, man, this thing got passed down from Methuselah. It's so old. It's not functioning right. All you have to do is turn it off, give it a little bit of a nap, and turn it back on, and it starts working better. Or you reset it. And when you reset it, if you go for the full-on reset, like, wow, this thing is working amazingly, or at least good enough, right? Good enough to get you through. But if you're over 50, I would recommend for all of us over 50, never give your phone to anybody under 50 and let them upgrade it, because then it messes with us. And I made the mistake of handing my phone to Pastor Josh, and he blessed me, and I went, "Well, now I need coaching on how to use this phone again." But wouldn't it be amazing if we actually, like with a phone, they kind of reset, but if you had a full reset for life, I mean like a real one, a really good one, and you showed up to the beauty salon and you're looking in the mirror at your hair and think, here's the picture of what I want it to look like when we're done. And when the stylist actually makes it look like that, and then you look in the mirror and go, ooh, I don't like that so much. No problem. Reset. Just start all over again. You walk into the gym and think, man, I used to be 20 pounds lighter, 20 times stronger. Not a problem. Reset. You walk out of the gym, everybody's like, wow, what'd you do? Reset. And then there are those things that are way, way more important to us, like this, sleep. And you can't sleep because a mistake has you up at night. Something you said, something you did, it just haunts you at nighttime. Maybe some of us showing up, just being your real self here today, showing up here today going, that's my story right now. I wish I just had a reset, could go back and undo what I did. Or maybe there's an addiction that you're really dealing with, and maybe this is the moment. You just get real with it. Like, yeah, I have an addiction I'm dealing with. And you wish you had a reset to go back to where that thing started, and you just would start differently, make different choices that wouldn't lead you to the place where you're dealing with an addiction that has control over you at this point. You want to give full control to God so that he can begin to do a work inside of you. Maybe you're in a place where you've wandered away from God for a while. You don't like what it's done on the inside of you, like you're not what you once were, and reset to go back again, to start again. And here's the thing with stories. Like today, I so hope that you'll catch the story that I'm about to tell through different characters of the scripture, because it is an incredible story of hope for us. It's the story of the scripture, and we're going to do an arc, a historical arc, back 3,000 years to chase this story together. But some of us, we recognize, maybe all of us can capture this, that these stories that we live by, the stories of our past, the stories that we're forming, these stories come with weight to them. Sometimes the weight is beautiful and powerful and compelling for us, and sometimes they're painful. And the weight of regret, or the weight of shame, the weight of past mistakes, the weight of if only I had done this different. And we begin to wonder this question right here: is there such a thing as a fresh start? Like for me, is there such a thing as a fresh start for me? Because I could really, really, really use one. Well, we're going to chase back. I already said it 3,000 years, and we're going to go to this river right here. This is a picture of the Jordan River. If you were here several weeks ago, Pastor Josh actually preached on the Jordan River. And we're going to go part two on this one, because there is no river on planet Earth with more significance when it comes to understanding the pursuit of God for each one of us, the pursuit of God on the hearts of humankind to call us back into a relationship with him again and again and again and again. The scripture points back to this river, and what happened in this river can teach us about who God is and how he responds to us even to this day. And the stories that we're going to chase, they're stories that really tell one story. And I want to start with this guy. His name is Moses. And Moses is one of the historical figures of the Bible that a lot of us know about. And if you want to know the whole story of Moses, you're going to have to go back and read the book of Exodus, the second book of the Bible. But what we're going to do is just give a snapshot of it and capture the meaning of God's pursuit for us here this morning. So Moses was in a place where he's being called by God to go into Egypt. The Israelites were enslaved to the Egyptians, had been there for 400 years, and through a series of plagues, Moses gets permission to lead the people into the promised land with great hope, a fresh start, a brand new beginning for these Israelites. And he makes his way with the Israelites toward this promised land. He has his back up against the Red Sea with the entire nation of Israel. And before them, they see a group of people that have changed their minds. The Pharaoh and his army, the most immense and powerful army on planet Earth at that time, with chariots and horses and weapons of war, trained warriors coming their direction, and the Israelites begin to cower in fear. Water behind them, a calamity on the way toward them. And God says to them basically these words, trust me. I got you. And I got this. Moses turned toward the water, took his staff, and he slapped the water, and the water split from the left to the right, two walls of water, and then he invited the Israelites into the water. Something happens when we pass through the waters. And into the waters, they trusted God. It would take trust to step in the middle of these waters. And the alternative wasn't great, so we have that going too. An army approaching you, trust God to step into these waters. Into the waters they stepped, and through the waters they went. And the hope would be that on the backside of these waters, having passed through these waters, having trusted God in these waters, we would find a people more filled with trust, more filled with hope, more ready for not just a fresh start, but a continued finish of trusting God. But what we find in the story of the book of Exodus, the story of Moses with his people, is these people are described as a people that are not courageous. They are not faithful to God. They are not strong as a people. And so for 40 years in this wilderness, this hard land, God goes to the work of shaping them and molding them and calling them and encouraging them to do what? To be his people. And it didn't take long for them to fail miserably at that. I mean, like, any of us know anything about that? Because I do. I'm all in until I find myself not. I'm all for until I've found myself over the years. Like, why am I? It's the old song. We used to sing it, a hymn. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. I don't just feel it. I sometimes do it. The Israelites did it. They needed a reset button, a fresh start. Enter the story of a guy named Joshua. Joshua, after 40 years of being in the wilderness with Moses, Joshua takes the helm, and he's the new leader of Israel. It's his shot. And he leads the people down to the Jordan River, this historic site where God continually is pursuing his people and calling them into a relationship with himself. And at that river, he tells them just 3 days from now, we are going back into the waters. We're crossing through the waters. Moses led us through the Red Sea. We stepped through the waters and trusted God. It's our turn again. It's time to step into that land faithfully that the Lord our God is giving us. And here's the words that we read. Be strong. Interesting. To a people who were not strong. Be courageous to a people who had not been courageous. It's the call up that God is saying to his people through Joshua. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. When he went up on Mount Sinai, he took the Ten Commandments, these rules for living, these guidelines for experiencing life. Be careful to obey, because you have not been careful thus far to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? He says it again. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. That's what God said to Moses. When Moses was before a burning bush, and he's like, I don't know your name. Who are you, God? And he said, I am the God who is with you. Tell them, I am. I am the God that will be with you, my people. He's reminding them again because they need reminders again, a restart, a fresh start again. I am the Lord your God. I will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God has given you for your own. Jumping forward to verse 15. 3 days later, there they are at the waters. As the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing and it piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. While the water flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off, so the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Any chance? Like any chance, I'll answer it already, no chance. That these people, this is only 40 years since they walked through the Red Sea. Only 40 years since Moses took his staff, split the waters left to right. Only 40 years since God said, trust me, come and be my people. Only 40 years of telling that amazing story, experiencing it for many of them that were there. And if you didn't experience, you heard about it from your grandma, from your grandpa, from your mom, from your dad, from your aunt, your uncle. We walked through the middle of the Red Sea, only 40 years from there. And now the same thing's happening. Step into the waters. It splits from the left to the right. Dry ground. They are living this all over again. Not a chance that these people don't think we have a reset. We have a redo on this. We didn't do so well first time with Moses, but this time with Joshua. Now we can step through the waters. God's inviting us again, pursuing us again to have a fresh start again. And through the book of Joshua, just a snapshot of it, Joshua chapter 3-4, they do it. They faithfully cross the river. And then Joshua 5, they get on the other side of that river and they renew their covenant with God. We will be your people and you will be our God. Joshua 6, they experienced victory. They're stepping out now, courageously, boldly, walking around the walls of Jericho. And the walls of Jericho crumble with a trumpet. But it sounds ridiculous, but what they stepped into was trusting God. And all was going well, just like it does for so many of us, until it wasn't. Joshua 7. It's a story about a guy in particular, but then the nation as well. They sinned against God. They rebelled against God. They walked away from God. They started putting their trust in something other than God. And they blew it. So we have Moses. Had an opportunity to really trust God. 40 years later, still not quite there. Joshua, God's sending, here's a reset for you, a restart. And they're doing well until they're not. Who's up next? Elijah. I mean, this is hundreds of years later, but Elijah's on the scene now. God is pursuing, catch that, 40 years. Now we're up to 100 years of pursuit that God is pursuing his people on Elijah. Elijah, this is such a fascinating look through the lens of the scripture because Elijah is in the land on the other side of the Jordan through the waters on the other side. And he's over there and he leaves and walks to the Jordan, back through the Jordan, the other direction, into the wilderness that the Israelites had been in for 40 years, eventually makes his way up Mount Horeb, which is another way of saying Mount Sinai. He's up where the Ten Commandments were given. What's he doing? And when I say he, I mean God. What's God up to here? What's he trying to show through the prophet? What is he trying to say to the people? Let's do a reset. We've sinned against God, and we're not living for God in the way we should. Back through the waters, remember? Back into the wilderness where he was trying to shape and mold us, remember? Back up on the mountain where he said, not to the left, not to the right. Remember what he said through Joshua. Remember the law that he gave us through Moses. Let's be those people. His life trying to put on display that God is inviting again the nation again of Israel all over again to start fresh and new. That's incredible grace. And then we enter the story of a guy named John the Baptist. John the Baptist, now we're in the New Testament. And this is the arc, this incredible arc of story that goes from Moses to Joshua to Elijah. Now we're John the Baptist, and we're 1,000 years plus that we're from there. So God, not just pursuing for the moment, not just pursuing for 40 years, not just pursuing for 100 years. Now we're 1,000+ years. God is still pursuing his people with this guy named John the Baptist. And if you've learned about John the Baptist, it's interesting. At very least, the guy's walking around with camel hair. I'm not sure why that's super significant. I don't know anybody that has camel hair clothed, but he did. And he's eating locusts or grasshoppers and honey. And you kind of get this picture. He's out there and like, oh, so delicious. It's like popcorn. I can't eat just one. This is so good. And he's out eating locusts and honey, and he's got camel hair on. But what he's doing is amazing. What God's invited him into is incredible. And it's really, really clear what John the Baptist is up to. He's actually up to the very same thing that Moses was up to, the very same thing that Joshua was up to, the very same thing that Elijah was up to. John the Baptist, it's just another story of the very same thing that God is doing. And we read it like this. It says, in those days, John the Baptist came. His turn. You needed to restart in the days of Moses. My turn. You needed to restart it in the days of Joshua. My turn. Elijah tried to say, let's do a restart. My turn. Preaching where? In the wilderness. Back in the wilderness again. Of Judea. That hard place where God forms us into his image. And saying, repent. Turn. Reset. These feet of yours for the right direction, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins, getting real with themselves, putting their real foot forward. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. We're back in the Jordan again, passing through the water again. Getting a reset again, a restart again. This is an incredible story. It's just one story. Four characters in the story so far, but we have Moses. Moses calling the people into the promised land, but having this hard place where God is forming them so that they can actually step into it. Joshua then leading them through the water. Second time the water split. Elijah come to the waters. Third time the water split. He slaps the water and it splits to the left and the right. Elijah walks through, and then John the Baptist out hip deep in the waters. Come into the waters. Come into the waters and renew. Get renewed, get a fresh start right here again. Same story. It's a story of God. It's a story of his pursuit, incredible pursuit of you. And it's really amazing, especially if you get real with yourself, to really think about, why would he pursue me? Did I do anything to earn that? Nope. I've messed up. That's our story. That's mine. And yet he does it. And the one difference that I would say here between like Moses and Joshua, Elijah and John the Baptist, is John the Baptist was trying to set up what would be the real reset. John the Baptist actually spoke about one more that was on the way. When John the Baptist spoke, he spoke about him in this way. He said, he is so amazing. Like for me, I would be unworthy to even untie his sandals. The thong of his sandals. I'm unworthy of it. That he, let him increase and let me decrease. He is greater than me. I'm just pointing the way. That's all I am, is to get your feet set for the true reset of your life. As Jesus. And Jesus actually stepped into the waters of the Jordan. In the Gospel of Matthew, it reads, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan. Well, John's out in the middle of the Jordan River. John's out there teaching repentance. John's getting people ready. Just get real with yourself. Repent. Just get real. And people are doing it. And he's pointing. There's one that's greater than me. He's on the way. And when he sees him coming, Jesus stepped into the waters to be baptized by John. That feels weird a little bit. Like, why would Jesus need a reset? Why would Jesus need a redo? Why would Jesus need a fresh start? Why would Jesus need to get real with himself so that he could actually get real with God? Because we're talking about the one, though he came into this world, he was the one that overcame sin itself. And it says in the book of Hebrews that every sin that you've experienced, I've experienced, every temptation toward doing something that would harm us, harm ourselves, every temptation that we've ever felt toward that, and every decision we ever made to actually step into it, every bad decision for that, Jesus felt it all, but he never made the bad decision. He never sinned. None of that. Why does he need a baptism of repentance would be the big question here. Why Jesus stepping into the waters? I would simply ask this. Why Jesus come to the earth for the first place? Why? Why would he come here? Why did he walk among us? Why did he hang out with the disciples? Why did he sit down and have food with people? Why did he fraternize with sinners and tax collectors? Why all of this? Why the cross? Why the resurrection? Why all of that? And the reason was very clear. A pursuit of you. That's the message from the beginning to the end. That is the story. It's the narrative arc of the scripture that God is pursuing us. So why these waters? Why did he come to earth to identify with his own? Why human flesh? He experienced what we experience. Why into those waters? To show us what many of us probably feel. Can you get a fresh start? Of course you can. Of course and yes, that would be the answer. Can you get free from your addiction? Yeah, you can get free from your addiction. People do it every day. Can you get a fresh start and actually heal when your marriage has been as broken as it is? Yeah. I know some pretty big stories right here in this worship center. If you need some hope, I know them well enough, they will have conversation with you about how God stepped in when it looked like it was all over, and he's the one that can make a way when there seems no way. I can tell you that. But it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to experience. It's one thing to say God forgives. It's another thing to have that transforming power that just makes you realize I am forgiven and I've experienced it. It's one thing to say you can be free of your addiction. It's another thing to say, and I will walk it out with you. Day after day after day after day after day until you begin to experience victory in Christ. I'll do that with you because I'm your brother. I'll come alongside you in that. Jesus stepped into these waters, and so amazing. The Israelites were 40 years in the wilderness. Jesus also had his experience in the wilderness, 40 days. 40 days out in the wilderness. The Israelites, they failed. Jesus conquered every temptation that came his way. The Israelites passed through the waters multiple times. They passed through the Jordan. Jesus too stepped in the waters of the Jordan. I'm with you. I told you, Moses, I'd be with you. Go tell the people. I told you, Joshua, I would be with you. Go tell the people. Go tell them. And here's John the Baptist saying, there he is. I'm not even worthy to untie his sandal. Greater is he. I must decrease. Let him increase. And into the waters he steps. I'm with you. I'm with you. And Jesus showed that there is a way that is possible for you and for me to actually experience a true fresh start, a true one. But it has to happen in him. That's the experience of my life. And I can't tell you how many times that there's no such thing, and it's a ridiculous thought, really, that I pose at the beginning. What if we had a reset button for life? That's not the way it works. It's not like you hit a reset button and you erase the haircut you just got. That's not how it works. You don't erase years of poor eating habits and not exercise by hitting a button and going 20 pounds lighter, 20 pounds stronger, or 20 times stronger. It doesn't work that way, and nor do we erase the stories and the weight that's behind. But God can enter into those stories and form a brand new one moving forward. And for me, I can think about so many moments like that. When I was a little kid at Vacation Bible School and experiencing Jesus sitting in Vacation Bible School, we were at the old Fairhaven down the road on 20th and Baldwin and just leaning out and listening to this man talk about Jesus and going home to mom and saying, I heard about Jesus and praying with my mom, and that experience at nighttime on my knees with my mom accepting Jesus as my Savior. Did it stick? No. Yeah. Both of those are true. And then in college, laying on my bed all by myself in the middle of the night thinking, what's wrong? I have so many friends. I was dating Kathy at that time. How could life get any better than this? All these friends, all this fun, but something was missing. And what was missing is I just wasn't living for Jesus. It was an invitation by the Holy Spirit. Back. Come back again. Back into the waters again. Let's reset again. God pursuing me. And I can tell you one story after another. Here's what I know. If God was pursuing these Israelites for 40 years in the wilderness, and then Joshua, 100 years later plus, here comes Elijah, 1,000 years plus, here comes John the Baptist, and 3,000 years later, here we are. If you're looking at your life going, can I get a fresh start? Unless you're older than 3,000 years old, I would say this is the God who pursues you. This is the God that is looking to renew covenant with you. And John the Baptist was saying it, but let me point to one that actually can empower you. And Jesus said, I'm sending forth the Holy Spirit to live in you so that you can experience this and know I am crazy in love with you.
Thanks for listening. Our hope is that you are encouraged and that God revealed a piece of his character to you as you listen through this message. For service times and for more information on all the things happening in the life of Fairhaven, you can visit us at fhchurch.org. Have a great week.